So turn then to Matthew chapter 5. We continue our study on the gospel according to Matthew chapter 5. We started from verse 1 of chapter 1. Our aim in this church is to go through a book, chapter by chapter, section by section, verse by verse. Why? Why did we come to Matthew? Simple. Who is this Jesus that we are worshipping? Who is this Jesus that is misrepresented out there? Do we still know the true Jesus? What was his purpose for coming into the world? So we go through verse by verse. We see how the Old Testament portrays the coming of the Son of God and how the Jews received him. How should we receive him? Is that not beautiful? We are not picking up verses there and there that suits our feelings. Then we talk about them and feel good. We are going through as the Lord lead us. Today we're doing verse 14 to verse 16. Last week we did verse 13. Pray for me as I prepare, as I think, as I meditate. So we'll read together this morning from verse 13 to 16, though we are concentrating on verse 14 to 16. And the title of the message this morning, You Are the Light of the World. Matthew chapter 5, I'm reading from the ESV. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and be trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. May the good Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. May he write his eternal truths upon our hearts. In our country, here in our country, especially this year, we have been reminded of what darkness really looks like. We have the ongoing load shedding. And it is a proven fact then that none of us enjoys the dark. The dark robs us of the beauty of our country at night. You know how beautiful our country is at night? Seeing all those lights out there shining, darkness robs us of that. Darkness also fuels crime. In our society, it increases the crime rates and it increases wickedness in society. It causes accidents. The traffic lights are off. People are jumping robots. Those who are walking, pedestrians, are in danger. Darkness brings fear in the lives of people. You don't know who's going to come to your house and break in because of darkness. Darkness is uncomfortable. So as bad as natural darkness is, there is another kind of darkness which is most terrifying darkness of them all. The kind of darkness that is not only scary but also extremely dangerous. That is the darkness which the Bible says it describes it as a spiritual darkness. The life of a man without Christ in his soul. That is the most dangerous darkness there is. It is so dangerous to the point that God himself had to come from heaven and coming into the world and put it out. It caused God himself to come and put this darkness out. That's how terrible and powerful the darkness, which is called spiritual darkness, is. His son came into the world to do the will of God, to give his life a ransom for many, to turn sinners from sin, to turn sinners into saints, to translate you from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of his eternal light. He came into this world to make us His children, to adopt us as sons, to bring men back to God, to translate men from wickedness to righteousness, to turn fear into courage and joy, to live a life of great example, a sinless life, a righteous life, a blameless life. He came into the world as light, coming into darkness, and darkness was never able to put it out. If you read John chapter number 1, verse 1 to 4, you find that idea there. He came as a light into the world. The dark world was never able to put Him out. Jesus Christ, our Lord. He came into the world as light to shine in the soul of men, to cause men to hate sin and love God, to cause men to hate unrighteousness and love righteousness, to cause men to hate darkness and love the light, to hate lies and love the truth, to hate religiousness and love true spirituality. He came into this world as the light, and the darkness was never able to put Him out. What we see from verse 13 to 16 is the influence necessary of the kingdom of God into this world through the believers. A necessary influence. We have spoken about this last week on verse 13. This is what we see from 13 to 16. We have just broken it into two. Last week we spoke on the fact that you are the salt. So we see this influence, a necessary influence of the kingdom of God through believers in this world. We see something of its power, something of its influence in a visible form as we live our lives among the people, even here in Olivet, leading to a visible transformation of life, something that people will see. People must not ask, is he also saved? They will say, he is definitely a Christian when you have these qualities I'm talking about this morning. We have seen what a remarkable and a glorious thing it is to be a child of God, to be a Christian. We are the salt of the earth. You are the influence to those people around you. But this morning, we are reminded again that not only are we salt, not only are we the influence to those around us, but we need to shine brighter like the light. A light doesn't have to be closer to someone. It can be just there and shine bright. That is what we're looking at this morning. So there are three things we need to consider to reveal the reality of being the light of the world. The first thing is that as lights, we are the express image of a greater light. We are the express image of a greater light. In other words, you as a light, the light of the world, you are the likeness of Jesus Christ. Ungumfanekiso ngamashi wekukhanya okungaphezu kokukhanya konke. Abakhulumisa isiZulu bajabulile ngoba it makes more sense. You are the express image of a greater light. You are the likeness of the light himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the first thing I want us to see here. You have the same mission, you have the same vision as the Lord Jesus Christ. The same mission and the same vision for this dark and sinful world. You are the express image of his Son. Verse 14, it says, we are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. It is in John chapter 8, verse 12, where Jesus says, we know this verse, we know these words. He says, I am the light of the world. In other words, I am an exclusive source of spiritual light. I am the light of the world. And whosoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but he will have the light of life. So, brethren, just as physical light is so necessary for a physical life, so it is with a spiritual light. It is so necessary for a spiritual life. And we all know that being light is the character of God. When we speak about light, we speak about God. I just quoted the verse for you. Jesus saying, I am the light of the world. It is the character of God. That is what God, that is who God is. God is light. We read in Psalm 104 verse 2, it says, He wraps himself in light as with a garment. He wraps himself with light as with a garment. So, the true light of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ, in the process of dealing with the darkness in the soul of man, what does he do? He calls people from darkness. He chooses a people from darkness and turns them into light, and that they may be light bearers in the world. In the process of reconciling the world to God, he calls man and woman, child, to come to him to become light as well. He called those who were once walking in darkness to transmit the light, to convey it to others. He has called us to be the light. The light he's talking about is holiness and truth. That is the light he's talking about. Holiness and truth. It is the displayed true knowledge of God. That is the light. When we display the true knowledge of God, practical knowledge, the people need to see. We must show in our deeds that we know God, practically seeing it. He speaks about this. That is the light, the goodness and the righteousness of his people. And so, such should shine in a way that will attract people to God. It should shine in a way that it brings salvation to the nations. Just to see how God is serious, how serious God is with the issue of light. He says to the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 13, verse 47, I have made you a light for the Gentiles. Why? That you may bring salvation to the end of the earth. That is the greatest purpose of the light. To bring salvation to the ends of the earth. I have made you. You have not become a light. Brothers, sisters, church, we don't become lights. We are made lights. God forms us, reforms us, reshapes us, and makes us the light that he wants us to be. As you see different lights and different light bulbs on the shelf, Lafayette, ShopRite, wherever it is, you look at that, you see the different formation of those lights. God makes us. We don't just choose and decide and become. He makes us. He says, I have made you a light to the Gentiles. What is Gentiles? The nations. To bring salvation to the ends of the earth. So we are the light that brings salvation. Not only then do we preserve the people from corruption. Like I said last week, I said the salt preserves meat from corruption. When you put salt on meat and you hang it like a biltong, it preserves that meat from decay and corruption. He says we are the salt of the earth. That is what we do to our surrounding. But not only do we preserve then people from destruction, we bring them, we shine the light, we bring them to the light of God. We want to see our friends, we want to see our families being saved. We want to see our children and their friends being saved. We want to see them walking to the light of God and glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what we want you to see. Seeing them walking in the light of God. Seeing them walking in the light of the gospel. So in other words, we have the kingdom light within us. We have the kingdom life within us. You have the kingdom life within you as an individual. And that then becomes your emblem of righteousness in this world. What is an emblem? Something that people see and recognize. If you bring South African flag, it's an emblem of our country. So we become the emblem of righteousness in this world. because the life that is within us has just become and caused us to be those emblems. Twanso. Ningozi rasengshane suits. Twanso. Samurena Jesu. We become the emblem as we shine the light of God. The God who is the light now dwells. This is big, Bazalwan. The God who is the light now dwells within us. And He shines through us. What a privilege, what a blessing it is for the Holy God of heaven, the Creator of heaven and earth, the one who upholds the universe in the palm of His hand, deciding to dwell in a sinful, wicked, wretched man like me, and causing me to shine bright into this world, representing the Holy God, even in my weakness in this world. What a great God. What a privilege that we have as the children of God. Look at your Bible. It says, the light of the world. Not just the light. The light of the world. He speaks of unbelievers. The world here speaks of unbelievers. Not cosmos. Not America, Japan, Greece and Italy. People, the dwellers of the earth. Unbelievers. Those who have not yet professed Christ as Lord and Savior in their lives. Regardless of the fact that they may be going to churches. The fact that they have not given their lives to Jesus. We are the light of the world. Our brothers, our dear sisters, our friends, our families who continue to live under the shadow of death. He says we are the light of the world. Look what the scripture says in Proverbs chapter 4 verse 19. Turn there if you are so fast. Proverbs 4 verse 19. Listen, look at the distinction there is between us and the world. The world, our brothers and sisters, those whom we love. We love them so dearly. But God says, listen very carefully. Verse 19, Proverbs 4. The way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. They don't even know what they are stepping onto. They don't know where they put their foot, whether there is ground or no ground. Just imagine walking, not knowing that there is a hole on the ground. That is what unbelievers, spiritually speaking, that is how they are. That is how we were, my friends. We were like them. Don't even act or think that you are better. You are not. Actually, you have sinned graciously and more than, when you say grievously, actually, more than them in many ways. Some people who are Christian today have killed 1,000 people, but God turned them to be His children. So never look on those people and think that you are better. We are not. But the point of the matter is, at the moment, for the fact that they have not yet come to Jesus, the way of the wicked is like deep darkness. Oh, friends, how much we should cry. How much we should long to see our brothers and sisters coming to the Lord. Just imagine looking at your friend or your brother walking. You know exactly there is a hole there, but he's walking and he's going to jump in there and fall and break his back. Just imagine. It is the same, but it's great. It's bigger than that. There is a place that is called a dark and horrible place where there's grinding and snatching of teeth unless one comes to the light. The way continues to be a way of deep darkness. So when Jesus says that we are the light of the world, it means that God has deposited His nature inside us. Something which should shine forth that the world should see. Something that will shine forth and bring light and attract men to God has been deposited unto us. Friends, shining like a lamp on their feet is our responsibility. We need to shine like a lamp on their feet, leading them to God. So the idea here is that we are the light bearers and witnesses for God in the midst of this perverse generation. We are the witnesses of God. You, don't look at your neighbor. I know you are used to this thing. Look at your neighbor and say, nah, look at yourself and say, you are the light of the world. You are. In the midst of this perverse generation. And friends, if you are the light of the world, if you will be like the lamp on a stand, you must always be fed with oil, or you will not keep a light. Let me give you a small illustration. I remember when I grew up. Remember, I didn't grow up here where there's electricity and good life. I remember how we used to make light in the house. You take a tin, you put paraffin, then you make a hole on the lid, and you put a string, and you burn it. You know it. Probably you know. Yes. Friends, just imagine, there were times where you burn that and the paraffin is out. But surprisingly, that light keeps burning. Why? Now, the light keeps absorbing from the string and it burns the string until there is no string anymore. That's what happens, my friends, if we are not fed with the oil. I was saying to you, the example that I'm bringing is because I said to you, you must be fed with oil because you are the light. You must constantly be filled with oil. In other words, you must be attached to the fountain of light, the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no way you will make it without the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no way that rope can make it without the paraffin or the fuel inside. You need to be always attached to the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to pray to Him. You need to study His word. You need to put aside time for the Lord. You need to pray and be connected. Can you imagine? Be connected to Jesus. When you put a starter pack in your phone, that SIM card, and there's no network, either Vodacom or network, or Vodacom or MTN, no Vision Mobile, there's nothing. We are not connected. But as soon as you activate your number, you are connected. Prayer connects us to Christ. Our lives of studying the Word of God connect us to Christ. And it helps us then to continue to be a light that shines a light in this world. Be connected to Jesus. Can I have an amen? Amen. Can I have a hallelujah? Thanking Yabonga. So, how is that the express image of a greater light? Simple. The way Jesus shone His light in this world, now we do. He shone the light of the gospel in this world. Nothing more. The gospel. The Bible says He went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. That is what we do as the light. We are the expressed image of the Lord Jesus Christ, the expressed image of a greater light. We portray the light of God. Look at your Bible. He continues to say, you are like a city set on a hill that cannot be hidden. And friends, we all know, if you will build a city on a hill, there is one purpose. You want it to be known. You want people to see it. He says, you are a city built on a hill. That city that builds on a hill becomes a landmark in that area. It becomes something that cannot be missed. It becomes something that people talk about. When you are in a taxi or a meter taxi, you're telling them, please drop me by there. It becomes a landmark. Drop me by that hill or by that church. We are a city built on a mountain, on a hill. We are called to be visible, to be seen in a positive way. That is what this tells us today. Something that cannot be missed. When you build such a city on a hill, you make sure that that city is perfect and beautiful. You will not build something that is not perfect and beautiful, whereby all eyes will be on. In the same way, my friends, when God calls us and rebuilds us, shaping us, making us His children, He builds us perfect, perfect and beautiful. That is what we are. That is what you are. A city built so perfectly, built so beautifully. You are that remarkable symbol of greatness in this world. So the image of the city on a hill speaks of a corporate effect of the combined life of the believer. A corporate effect of the combined lives of the believer. Look at the city on a hill. At night, as it shines alive, as it shines bright, it is not one light that shines bright. All the light shines together. That is the image. So we are the people who must together shine and bring light. In other words, this speaks of the church as well, not just individual lives. We must be a people who are united in what we do. Just as the city on the hill, it shines its light at the same time. The church is that shining light, is that shining place, filled with love, filled with respect, filled with care, filled with godliness. Are you a godly person, my friend? Do you care, my friend? Do we love one another? That's how together we shine the light. And such cannot be hidden. That's what the verse says. It cannot be hidden. In other words, the world needs to look at us and says, wow, look how they care for one another. Look how they love one another. Friends, let us stop. I'm grateful that is not happening in this church yet, and I pray that it doesn't. Let us stop quarrels. Love one another. Shine the light together as brothers and sisters in the Lord. He emphasizes the same idea in verse 15, that the light or the city cannot be hidden. He uses a different way of expressing the same truth. Look at your Bible. It says in verse 15, you are the light that cannot be hidden. Kumbula mzalwane, remember Slovo Sam. He said first, we are a city on a hill. Now he's using a different way of explaining the same thing. He says we are a light. He's emphasizing more and more. You are a light that cannot be hidden. So just as a candle cannot be lit and put under a table or under a basket, you do not belong in hiding, my friend. You are not given a secret fate. He who has caused you to shine in this world has put you on the table, not under the table. You are called to make a visible impact in this world by proclaiming the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in words and in deeds. That is very important, because light reveals the truth. It reveals truth about God. Light reveals truth about yourself. My friends, unless we put ourselves under the light of the Lord Jesus Christ, we will not know how much darkness has covered us, unless we put ourselves under the light of God. The light is necessary. In the same way, when the world come around us, when they come around us, our light should shine so that they may see their greatest need in this world. What is that greatest need? The Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, the King of kings, the glorious, marvelous, beautiful Savior. They must see it in you. So in other words, I'm saying, unless we put ourselves under the X-ray of the Lord Jesus Christ, we must put ourselves under the light of God,
That is an x-ray of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word of God.
Unless we do that, we will not know the darkness that is out there. And we will not appreciate the darkness that the Lord Jesus Christ has taken from us. He has taken so much. And let the world scan themselves under our own lights. And let them see their need of the Lord Jesus Christ, their Savior. And then they will come to us. Not because we are going to save them. When people come to us, it's not because we are going to save them, but because we are the only one. I'm not talking about this church, I'm talking about Christians. We are the only one that can lead someone to the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. As we shine the light, they come to us. Like in Acts chapter 2. Brothers, what must we do? They ask him, men, what must we do? I'm convicted. I can see I'm a sinner. I see I need the Lord Jesus Christ. I can see my future is not looking good. What must I do? Repent. Turn away from your wicked ways. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You and your children. That is what needs to happen. Church, the bottom line is, you are the express image of a greater light, the Lord Jesus Christ. You are the light of the world. Without you, darkness continues in this world. And with you, shining nothing in this world, the world is helpless. So it doesn't help for us to be there and shine nothing. That's what I'm saying. It's the same as if we were not there. Shine the light of God. We are the express image. The question is, don't you care about the world? Don't you care about your friends? Don't you care about your family? Don't you care about this great light, the Lord Jesus Christ, which has been given to you? Don't you care about this assignment of shining the light? Don't you care about the Savior who saved you? Shine the light of God. Be that express image of the light of God. We are left in this world, my friend, to disseminate the light. To distribute, in other words, the light. Because the light that we shine, the light that we give, is not our light. It is the reflection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that what you reflect? Secondly, let's look at the practical evidence of being a light. Verse 15 to 16. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all that is in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. My friend, I want to concentrate more on the fact that the light is on a lampstand. And consequently, it gives light to the whole house. And the Bible calls that, it considers that as good works. The first evidence. Remember, we're talking about practical evidences. That we are the light. The first evidence in verse 15 is that you are on a stand. You are on a lampstand. I'm going to explain that. That's the first evidence to show that you are the one. You are the light of the world. You want to know how you are the light of the world? You must be on a lampstand. Every house in those days where Jesus lived had to have the light that I was talking about. They didn't have electricity. Every house had to have that. A house without that was useless. Why? You could not do anything in the house. Light was necessary. And the Bible says this light then was put on a stand. Why? To shine in the whole house. So he says here, a candle cannot be put under a table, which means the candle is the source of light. It must be on a stand. So in the same way, my friends, let me say in short, so that I don't take your time to explain this lampstand, that you must be on a lampstand. The church, my friends, is a need to every home. If you open your Bibles, you read through your Bibles, especially in Revelation, the book of Revelation, it tells you, it speaks of a lampstand. And the lampstand, Bazalwane, speaks of the church. The church is the lampstand. The light is you. The church is the lampstand. You are the light on the lampstand. So the individual candle, which is the believer, should be so attached to a lampstand so that it can bring light to all that is in the house. There should never be a time where a Christian is separated from the church. There can never be a time where the light is not on a stand. Jesus says it is worthless to shine its light when it's not on a stand. You cannot separate yourself from the gathering of believers. In this context, the disciples should never work independently of one another. The candle cannot have a different mission and the stand having a different mission. A child of God cannot have a different purpose than what the church purposes. That's where I'm going. That is the first practical evidence that you are a light. We are connected to a stand. We are part of the greater church of the Lord Jesus Christ. So in other words, the believer must never be a lone runner. You must be connected, be attached to the church. You belong to a house. Just like every light that Jesus Christ was talking about belonged to a house. That's why he says it is put on a stand so that all in the house may see. You belong to a house. A great light will belong to a house where there's a lampstand. It will belong there. So that the winds out there may not blow it out. That is why it is very important, my friend, you become a member of this church. Because you belong to a lampstand. We are not called to be an individual lone runner. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
The second evidence that you are a light is in verse 16. It is your good works among the people. In verse 16. That's the second evidence that you are a light. First, you belong to a lampstand. You belong to the church. Secondly, your good works among the people. Verse 16 says, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to God who is in heaven. Friends, our deeds should make us shine like stars in the world. We must have the faith which produces good works. Because genuine faith, my friend, is never an empty faith. It is a fruitful faith. A faith that produces works. That is why when we claim to a faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, there must be a clear, substantial evidence. Are you saying you are a Christian? Show me. Show me the works of your faith. That's why John the Baptist, what did he say? Repent and show fruit keeping with repentance. We did that in chapter number 3. When you are a Christian, don't claim to a faith. We must see the works of faith produced from you. We are tired of the Christian talking Christianity. We need Christian living, walking through Christianity, my friends. So friends, in shining our light, we need to be generous in this world. We need to help the needy. We need to be kind. We need to show the evidence of true transformation in our lives on daily basis, not on Sunday. We are not submarine Christians who sneak out on Sunday, then sink deep in sin from Monday to Saturday. We are not submarine Christians. I'll leave it there for now. We need to show practical evidence of transformed life on a daily basis. Listen to what the Apostle John says. Not John, James says in chapter 2, verse 17. So, also faith by itself, if does not have works, it is dead. Bazalana, I'm encouraging you to do deeds, works of faith, so that we may be seen. We are the children of God. That is how we shine our light out there. So you need to show works of faith, my friend. Although, I must just remind you, we are not saved by works. In other words, you don't do good works so that you get saved. But once you are saved, you must produce good works. That is a practical evidence. We need to be those who adopt the little children left behind by their families, by their parents, without a reason or for any other reason. We must be the first one to be there. I know that's a different subject, but I'm just making a point. We must be the first point of help. We must take care of the foreigners in our own country. We must be the first one to show We must be the first one to stop where there's someone on the roadside, like this good Samaritan. When someone is hurt, we must be the first one to stop. I've seen people just driving out. But South Africa is a 90% Christian country. How can this be? We must be the first one as a point of help, like the good Samaritan, paying the price in that hotel, providing for the needy if possible, covering the cost of the needy if it's possible. Friends, I did say before in this church, I think it was 2 months ago, that every work that we do will follow us in heaven. I quoted a verse that was Revelation chapter 14 verse 13. It says, your deeds will follow you beyond the grave. Your good deeds will follow you beyond the grave. Because of your good deeds, you will receive the crowns that await those who are in heaven. But that does not mean, Gemzalwane, you must rush doing good deeds before salvation. I have just said, good works does not save. Stop doing good works. Start by coming to Jesus. Then produce good works. The Bible says in Matthew 7:22-23, on that day many will say to me, that is Jesus speaking, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? In other words, did we not do good deeds in your name? Did we not do mighty works and cast out demons in your name? Then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Your good deeds, my friends, will not save you. Come to Jesus and produce good deeds. Produce good deeds of faith. Be on a lampstand. Thirdly, let us look at the purpose or the reason of shining the light. What is the purpose? What is the reason of shining the light? The purpose behind this whole divine exercise that we do, the shining of light. What is the purpose? Verse 16 again. That they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Now your good works, my friends, leads to the glory of God by others, those around you. That is the grand purpose, the glory of God. If you live in this world for anything else rather than the glory of God, if you live in this world for friends, if you live for family, if you live for sport, for pleasure and entertainment rather than the glory of God, it will be better if you have not been born. It will be better. That is the grand purpose. If what people see in your life does not give glory to God, are you really in the light? What light are you shining? If what you do does not bring glory to God. Well, so the same Jesus then, as I've mentioned earlier, who came from heaven to bring glory to his Father, he passes to the disciples, or he gives these responsibilities to the disciples to be those who bring glory to God. Now it is upon us to bring glory to God. So the aim of our good works, my friend, that is what the verse is about. The aim of our good works is that it may bring glory to God. The aim of us shining the light, it is that it may bring glory to God. It is not to make a point and make ourselves so important in this world, but it will have to direct people's attention to God, not to ourselves. It must direct people to God who has called us from darkness unto light. That is why verse 15 encourages you so that you will let your light shine. Because at the end of the day, God will be known and adored through your good works. Nothing more. Nobody is interested in reading the Bible anymore. Nobody is interested in coming to churches unless you really, really speak to them these days. I'm talking about the unsaved. But through our shining of light and our good works, God can be glorified. That's the point I'm bringing to you. So let your light shine so that people may come to God and glorify Him. Letting your light shine, my friend, is allowing God to use you for His glory. Are you usable? Is God using you for His glory? Are you available for Him and usable? Because other people are available but not usable. Other people are usable but not available. My friend, be available to bring glory to God, that people may glorify Him. Let us not do good works just to be seen by men. We should do good works that men may see God, living the life of Christ, that men may glorify God. We should live for Christ, whether people are seeing and they are not seeing. We must not be like those who only perform good in front of people. Behind the scene, their lives is a mess. I'm talking about sinful mess. Friends, we must point to the beauty, to the splendor, to the majesty, to the glory of our God. We must point to His attributes. We must point to the good works that He has done in our lives. Make God desirable in this world. Make Him desirable in this world by living for Him. Help people to see the beauty of the gospel by seeing the transformation of life that has taken place within you. Help people to believe and accept the remarkable, wonderful gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are responsible to make people accept that gospel. Let them come to Jesus. He is the Son of God. Let them realize that He is the Savior that they need. And He does not discriminate, my friend. He says, come as you are. He has prepared a place for you in heaven if you believe in Him. So let nothing keep you from coming to such a loving and a kind God. Let the world see the glorious light of God through you by observing your good works. Let the world see that the light has come into the world to change them from their love for darkness rather than the light. Let them see. Help them to realize that everyone who practices evil hates the light. Help them realize that the only way to live in this world is the way of God. The people who will see this great light, closing, it's not only those in the house where the candle is, but also out there, like a city on a hill. In the context here, the people that should see this great light is both the Jews and the Gentiles. We have seen in chapter number 4, verse 16, that both the Jews and the Gentiles were dwelling in darkness and they had to see the great light that has come into the world. So our hearts and our desires must be to see the whole world worship the Lord Jesus Christ. People need to come to us to see how beautiful God is, that they may bring glory to Him, that they may worship Him, that they may repent from their sins, that they may submit to the rule of the King, King Jesus, and follow Him. So, church, the purpose for our good works is to point to Jesus. So, live as children of light. Have nothing to do with worldliness. Have nothing to do with the deeds of darkness. Instead, expose the deeds of darkness by shining bright in the world. Let people see how you live. Then they will change to live in that way next to you. Then God is glorified. Look around. That's where you should shine. God loves everybody out there. Those who will believe, He will save. Shine. Let your light shine. Because people out there are lost. They are in darkness. It is difficult for them to see. They have lost direction and have been walking and driving in circles, as it were. Their lives have been going from one point to the next, back to the same point. In the process, hurting each other. That's what the life out there is. They needed a light. You are that light. Let me summarize, my friend. We are the express image of Jesus Christ as the light of the world. And our attachment to the Lord Jesus Christ is our practical evidence. We are attached to Him by being attached to the church, the lampstand. That is the evidence. We are the light. And our good deeds is an evidence that we are the light. And our supreme purpose then to shine the light is that the world may see our good works and give glory to God, our Father, who is in heaven. Would you shine then
like the light that is expected of you to shine? Will you produce these good works as evidence of your transformation? Will you be on a lampstand? Will you be part of the church? Will you shine and cause men to bring glory to God? I leave it unto you. May the good God bless the preaching of His word in our hearts. Let's pray.
Thank you, O Lord, for your word that you have given to us this morning, O Lord. And we pray that you may be merciful to us, that you may help us to be a light, O Lord, to shine as we desire, O Lord, to be a city built on a hill, O Lord, so that you may be glorified, so that people may see these good works we do, O Lord, to the glory of your name. May you help us, O Lord, not to live in darkness with the people, not to encourage darkness, but, O Lord, to remind people, O Lord, that there is a light, that Jesus Christ is this light, that, O Lord, they may come to you in faith and salvation. So we give you praise and honor, O Lord, for this word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of His glory with great joy, to the only God our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
The Lord bless you till we meet again.